Hello everyone.
We are Cecilia and Malvanuz, and today, in our True Crime podcast, we are going to talk about the mystery of the Somerton Man. In the early hours of December 1st, 1948, on a quiet stretch of coastline in southern Australia, known as Somerton Beach, several passers-by noticed a solitary man sitting against a lone stone wall. His legs were extended neatly in front of him, his polished leather shoes crossed at the ankles, and his head rested gently against the wall, tilted slightly backwards as if he were gazing at the stars or calmly watching the ocean tide roll in.
Nothing about his posture suggested panic, pain, or distress. To casual observers, he seemed merely to be resting, perhaps asleep or quietly intoxicated. One couple even recalls him earlier that evening, noting that he did not respond when mosquitoes landed on his face. But they assumed that he was simply asleep. No one suspected that the man was already dead.
It was only later, when another passerby approached more closely, that the unsettling truth became clear. The man showed no signs of life. His body was cold to the touch, his pupils unresponsive. There were no visible injuries, no blood, no bruises, and no signs of a struggle. The sand beneath him was undisturbed, suggesting he had not been dragged or repositioned after death. His composed posture appeared almost intentional, as though his final moments had been carefully arranged with quiet precision.
When police began their investigation, the case immediately defied all expectation. They got no identification, no wallet, no letters, and no personal papers of any kind. Even more unsettling was the discovery that every label had been meticulously removed from his clothing, including the manufacturer's tags inside his suit, shirt, and tie. This was not accidental wear or damage. The labels had been clearly cutting away. This was not a man who has lost his identity. This was a man whose identity has been intentionally erased.
Inside his pockets, police found only a few mundane items. A used bus ticket, an unused train ticket, a packet of chewing gum, a box of matches, and a cigarette case containing cigarettes of a different brand than the case itself. There was nothing to indicate where he had come from, where he was going, or why he had ended up on that beach.
His fingerprints were taken and sent to law agencies across Australia, the United Kingdom, and the United States. At the time, fingerprint databases were already extensive, particularly due to wartime record keeping. Yet no one of the prints matched with any known records. Officially, the man did not exist.
The autopsy only deepened the mystery. There were no external wounds, no broken bones, and no obvious signs of natural disease that could explain the death. However, internally, the medical examiner observed several abnormalities. The stomach contained traces of blood, and organs such as the spleen and liver were enlarged and congested. These findings strongly suggested poisoning.
The problem was that no poison could be detected. Toxicological tests failed to identify any known substance. The medical examiners conclude that the poison involved may have been rarefied acting and capable of breaking down rapidly after the death, leaving no trace detectable with the forensic technology available in 1948. Substances such as digitals or certain exotic plant-based toxins were considered, but no one could be detected. As a result, the cause of death was recorded in an unusual, vague, and unsettling way, cause unknown.
Months passed, and the investigation stagnated. Then, when the case appeared to have reached a dead end, police made a discovery that transformed it entirely. While re-examining the man's clothing, investigators found a small concealed pocket sewn into the waistband of his trousers, a feature uncommon in mass-produced clothing and likely added by a tailor. Inside this hidden pocket was a tightly rolled scrap of paper, carefully placed. Printed on it were two words, Tamam Shud.
The phrase came from Persian and translated roughly to end or finished. It was not a casual phrase, but a traditional closing expression used in a specific book, the Rujibat of Omar Ghanigan, a collection of poetry that meditates on fate, mortality, the meaningless of world ambition, and the feeling nature of human life. The message was not handwritten, not emotional, and not explanatory. It read less like a suicide note, and more like a final declaration. As thought, the man was sitting, calm, and consequently, that his story was complete.
Police soon traced the phrase to a physical copy of the Rubaiyat that had been found abandoned in the back seat of an unlocked car parked near Somerton Beach. The book itself was an unusual edition, rare and difficult to trace. One page had been torn out, precisely the page from which the words "Tamam Shud" had been cut. The edges of the torn page matched perfectly with the scrap found on the man's body.
Cryptographers, military intelligence experts, and amateur code breakers have analyzed the cipher for decades. Some believe it's a one-time pad, a type of encryption commonly used in espionage and nearly impossible to break without a key. Others urge it may be a mingling list or a personal shorthand. To this day, no definitive solution has ever been universally accepted.
Also written inside the book was a telephone number. When police called it, they were led to a woman who lived only a short distance from Somerton Beach. In official records, she was referred to under the pseudonym Justine. She was a nurse, educated, multilingual, and during the war had given a copy of the Rubaiyat to a soldier she had known years earlier.
She claimed she didn't know the man found it on the beach and had never seen him before. However, the investigators later showed her a plastic cast reconstruction of the dead man's face. Witness reported that she became visibly shaken, early collapsing and needing support. Despite this reaction, she never changed her story and refused to discuss the matter publicly. Her name was sealed from records for decades, fueling speculation that she may have been conquered to intelligence work.
The historical context only deepened the mystery. It was 1948, the dawn of the Cold War. Australia was home to classified military facilities, rocket testing sites, and intelligence operations closely tied to British and American interests. A man with no identity, possibly killed by an undetectable poison, carrying a coded message and a symbolic farewell, seemed to fit disturbingly well into the shadowy world of espionage.
Some investigators believe the short-term man may have been an intelligence operative, a courier, or someone who possessed sensitive information. Others suggest he may have been deliberately silenced. His death engineered to leave no evidence and no answers. If so, it worked perfectly.
Decades passed, and the case slowly transformed from an active investigation into a modern legend, one of the most enduring and solved mysteries of the 20th century. Then, in 2022, researchers announced that through advanced DNA analysis and genealogical research, the Somerton man was likely Carl or Charles Webb, an electrical engineer from Melbourne who had vanished years earlier.
Yet, even with a probable name, the core mystery remains untouched. There's still no confirmed explanation for his presence on Somerton Beach, no definitive cause of death, no proven motive, and no agreed interpretation of the code or the meaning behind Tamam Shud.
The Somerton man may now have an identity, but his story is still unfinished. His death stands as a chilling reminder that some truths can be deliberately erased, leaving behind only symbols and silence, exactly as he may have intended.